Okay. Well, still studying in Genesis. We left off last week with Jacob on his journey and the dream he had had. And after I left last Sunday, my mind sometimes is slow as... Yeah. You know, we kind of thought, or I kind of thought that, you know, when Jacob woke up, that was God's blessing to him now. But I got to thinking about that. Was it a blessing from God that he gave him that dream? Or is he trying to teach him a lesson? Because we'll see that today. In the study, because we're talking about family today, and I know traditions in the olden in those days were a lot different than they are today. But before we get into it, do any of us have any shortcomings, or ever had any failures in life? Did it ever make you feel like, because this happened in my life, I really can't do this at church? I can't teach this class, or I can't do this service because this has happened in my life. But in the course of time, did God use you in a way that maybe you took on a meaningless task, but it showed you that he's still faithful to you, and your faithfulness should go back to him?
He's a God of second chances. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every day that you ask for forgiveness. So, you know, we know that we can, like you said, the task can be small, but it would end up making a big difference in somebody else.
So we're going to kind of see that today as Jacob is carrying off on his journey again. And the main scripture starts in Genesis 29, verse 16. But before that, it says he was on his journey and he saw a well in the field with three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from that well. And a stone covered the mouth. The stone that covered the mouth was very large. And when the sheep gathered there, the shepherds would roll it away, and the sheep would then water themselves. And Jacob walks up and just starts the conversation. Where are you from? And they're from Haran. That's where he's going. And he wants to know, do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson? And they sure did. Is he well? And they said, yes, he is. And if you look, here comes Rebecca, his daughter. Rachel, not Rebecca, Rachel. And it goes on to say, as we move along, that Jacob, being a man, let's say, when this pretty girl comes walking up, he was smitten. Because the scriptures tell us that Laban had two daughters. The older was named Leah, and the younger was named Rachel. And it said Leah had tender eyes, but Rachel was shapely and beautiful. Now, what does it mean by tender eyes? Some say maybe she had eye problems, or her eyes were just not as, let's say, the crystal blue or sharp eye color that would attract someone else. But Rachel had it all. And it said at that moment, Jacob fell in love with Rachel. Just, he wanted to marry her. Now, going along with the story, you know, and Jacob being the gentleman that I guess he was, he saw Rachel coming with the sheep. He moved the stone away for her. And in verse 11, we're backing up. It says, then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. And Rachel ran and told her father. So as it moves along, Jacob asked Laban for Rachel's hand in marriage. Now, do you think Laban had any idea what had proceeded with Jacob in deceiving his own brother and deceiving his own father? Because in those days, when someone wanted to come and take your daughter in marriage, the groom's family had to reward the bride's family in a large way. And I don't know when that stopped, but... yes. In both sides. But Jacob approached Laban and asked him for his hand in marriage. And Laban responded, you know, that he would consider doing that, but he would have to work for him for 7 years. Now, when I proposed to Susan, I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to spend, I wasn't responded, well, you've got to work for me for 7 years. But we don't know really what the working meant, because in the family, Laban was the only male member of the family at that point. So that's where the question came in. Why do you think Jacob was so willing to take on that task? Was he that smitten by Rachel? Or was he thinking that maybe, you know, I can gain something again without having to do anything to gain it?
Maybe he had a guilty conscience.
We don't know.
But he was kind of changed when he, you know.
Well, I think the dream kind of had changed his attitude and had moved him along.
He learned his lesson. Mm-hmm. Well, he fell in love so fast, yeah, that he wasn't thinking about himself. He found, mm-hmm, it was just like she was there, and it tells you that he just fell in love with her, so he didn't have time to think, well, if I marry her, will I have this, or well, does her dad have this, or this, or this? It was just a response between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. So as it goes on, Jacob completes his 7 years, and it says in verse 21, Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, my time is completed, and I want to lie with her. It says, so Laban brought together all the people of the place, and he gave a feast. Like we were talking earlier, the traditions were, weddings nowadays, prior to it, the ladies have showers, and then before the day of the marriage, you have your practice, and then you have a meal, then the wedding day, and then you have the fellowship after that. Well, tradition was in those days, this lasted about a week with food and everything that went with it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the celebration, the time came for Laban to take his daughter, and I guess he was going to take her maybe to, let's say, the ceremony tent, and he did, but he didn't take Rachel. He took Leah. And one writer kind of brought out You know, when Jacob came to consummate the marriage, was he full of, had he been partying too much, and was he just tired, I won't say intoxicated, but when he went into the tent to consummate the marriage, he didn't care to look at who was in there. Until it was too late. And then he saw it was Leah. How do you think he felt?
Oh, angry.
Angry?
He met Diane. Disappointed.
Disappointed.
7 years working together.
Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Did Laban, like mentioned earlier, did Laban know of Jacob's past, and did he do this to teach him a lesson? I don't know.
Well, he told Jacob, though, that the oldest daughter was married before the younger daughter.
But that was after the fact.
That was his reasoning, though.
Because the writer kind of says, according to custom, the bride covered her face with a veil, and unknown to Jacob, the veil did not hide his cherished Rachel. Instead, Laban substituted Leah.
You gotta remember, they didn't have electric lights.
That's true.
It was dark out there. But they described Rachel. I mean, do you know what was Leah tall and skinny? Was Rachel petite, or was it burst? I mean,
we don't.
There's four of us. We're all different shapes and heights, and you know. So I mean, you would think.
You would think he would know.
Of the physical aspect of it. I mean, you know.
There again, they had no electric light.
They had
them. That's the best thing
he said. Yeah. Because in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap." So Jacob is reaping some of his past.
So we also know, too, I mean, like you said, it was on into the story, but it's a big deal in the Old Testament about the firstborn son.
Right.
If that was just, I mean, that was a major point in what they did and what they gave and their land and all that kind of stuff. So I guess as a male, and him having two daughters instead of sons, he looked at it the same way. He thought the first daughter should be treated like you would treat. You see where I'm coming from on that?
Well, that was customary. It was customary, like Miss Evelyn said, for the first daughter. And unfortunately, Rachel was the second. But I thought it was also interesting. In doing this, not only did he, quote, take Leah, but Laban also gave one of his slaves, Zilpha, to Leah as her slave. Now, how would you have liked for that to have taken place if you had had a helper when you got married? But that's right.
I said that Laban was a schemer, a master schemer, a scheme.
Mm-hmm.
With 20-something years.
Because verse 25, and this may lead to that, it says, "When morning came, there was Leah. So he said to Laban, 'What is this you have done to me? Wasn't it for Rachel that I worked for you? Why have you deceived me?'" But we got to remember that Jacob's name actually means he cheats.
This
but
it would be the same question as if you flip back a few chapters,
right,
to his dad, that dad asked Rebecca, why have you deceived me with his son? I mean, and that's exactly what Rebecca did by the just covering and his arms and all that. She deceived. So it's like you said, you think Laban knew the story?
Possibly the story could have traveled to him, because this writer has a comment. He says, one problem with living by chicanery, and I didn't look that up, but I guess trickery, however, is sooner or later you're going to meet somebody that's more superior in swindling than you are. So,
and he did.
Well, and until you think of it, these are things you never know. You think about Jacob had a dream. How do you know that Laban didn't have a dream about
his daughter,
something that was going to happen to his children down the... I mean, these are things you don't know, because the scriptures can be such a mystery. But if Laban was a man of God, what if he came to him in the night and he had this dream and this is, you know, prepare this, or someone will be coming? And so, I mean, those are questions we don't have answers to. But
well, it was just like the Holy Spirit down with, you know, with Jacob. He could have dealt with Laban, and we don't get all the story like you said.
And then in the Old Testament, we all know there's so many dreams. I had a dream about this, or, you know, there was so much of that, that we call it dreams, but it was just, they were interacting with the Lord. He was there, and they're just there.
We call them visions.
Yeah, visions. They had a vision, and
from a mission, or...
And now if you tell somebody you have a dream, they look at you like, you've lost your mind. You know? And I mean, that was the way of your custom. I mean, they just, that's the way it was.
Well, they didn't have the word like we have.
No. Because Laban's response in verse 26, it is not the custom in this place to give the younger daughter in marriage before the firstborn. Because it says Jacob, he didn't have many options. Could he have divorced Leah? But I don't know in those days if divorce was prevalent like it is today. Or if he divorced Leah, would that alienate Laban and Jacob, and Jacob would be forced to return back to his home place? So, what does Jacob do? Laban says, well, if you'll work with me another 7 years, you can have Rachel. And I guess Jacob was just intrigued and in love, and he agreed. But only, it says, the celebration was planned to last a week, and Jacob agreed to the proposal. But it says when the feast ended, not the seven-year period, but when the week's feast ended, that's when Jacob was given Rachel as his wife. Now he has two wives, which was, I won't say, was common in those days.
It wasn't unheard of.
No. But I think what got interesting here is now the two sisters wanted to present a child. Well, Leah, being not Jacob's chosen one, God blessed her. Rachel couldn't have children. So was there any tension going on now in the household? And why I thought about this, and probably going to get a laugh out of this, is that show that's been on TV called Sister Wives. How can one man love that many different women and have the same care and relationship with them? I don't understand that.
Well, I don't understand how the women put up with that.
That either, yes.
And it says Leah felt the love. What did she expect? He loved Rachel.
Her daddy.
He loved her from the beginning.
And her daddy used her.
Exactly. But do you think Laban thought that he was going to change? feelings and love Leah, mm-hmm. and he was going to kind of love. He never stopped loving Rachel.
Mm-mm.
Period.
Because this comes back to, and it's carried on into today's world, that marriage should be between one man and one woman. That's
not
the way. That's the way it was designed in the Garden of Eden, but it didn't work that way. Because it does say simply that really Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. I think that would be evident. He cared for her more. But it goes on, is all of a sudden, and I'm going to have to find this and get it straight. I should have written it down. Laban, he gave Rachel a female slave as well. So like Zilpha, Leah and Rachel's jealousy would elevate to Jacob's concubine. It says Leah bore Jacob two sons. That was... Let me back up. I'm getting this wrong. But anyway, he and Leah had children. He and the slave, she could not produce a son, so she gave her slave to Jacob. So with the slave, Jacob had two sons that way. And it goes on even with Rachel not being able to bear children. She gave her slave to Jacob to have children too. And I think in the end, it ended up that it says God gave Leah six sons: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, and one daughter, Dinah. It says Rachel eventually gave birth to two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. But in Genesis 28, chapter verse 14, it says God had promised that Jacob's offspring would be like the dust of the earth. And it says God began to fulfill that promise through Jacob's children by Leah, Rachel, Zilpha, and Bilhah. So can we say truthfully that God can bring forth truth and His purpose by using flawed people? Would someone argue that point with you? Let's say inside a church, there was someone whose quote and background was not like we think it should be, but someone wanted to take that person and give them a responsibility. But some people over here, no, she's not qualified to do the job. But can God use that person to carry out what? Yes. So, did God go way back? Did He use Rebecca and Jacob and Isaac to create a plan and create a story? Because what would the story be if Jacob had never deceived his father? Would he have found someone to marry and move on? Or was this part of God's plan to take and then prove a point to that person? You deceived your father. You also deceived me. I rewarded you, but I deceived you. But I'm still showing you that I care for you and I love you. Mm-hmm. B- Because one writer, he said, believers can thank God for his faithfulness to his promises, even when our plans are contrary to his design. He said, little did Laban know, God would use Laban to fulfill his promise of making Jacob's offspring as numerous as the dust of the earth. Because if that had not happened, Laban didn't have a son. So there was nobody to carry on what he had built.
And is that why he asked him to stay for 7 years? Because he didn't have a son. And he needed a handyman.
Possibly. But it said, when he stayed the 7 years, what kind of work did he do? Was he like a slave, or was he just, you're my right-hand man?
An overseer?
Overseer of my...
Because Laban had slaves, because it said that he gave both Rachel and Leah half a slave.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you that evidently in the standings, he must have had something for to have slaves. So,
mm-hmm.
You don't know... Like with Laban mistreated. But if we think about it, if we all start looking back at our past, like our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents, you think, well, if my grandparents hadn't lived in such and such a place, and then I wouldn't have come to this church and met this man, or if my grandparents. So the puzzles kind of comes together in our lives. It's just at the time we don't realize.
You don't realize God's moving the pieces around.
Exactly.
Make a perfect picture. We just take it day by day.
Yeah. And non-Christian, and we do it sometimes too, but non-Christians will say, it was just pure luck that I met you, or it was just a pure, the hand of God placing
Absolutely.
You where you needed to be.
Because this right here, we'll kind of close with this. Have you ever been asked to do a task or started a task, and the only thing you could think about was how much time it was going to take, how much work was involved.
How soon can I be finished?
But when it was all over, did you find any joy in it when the task was completed? So,
All right, let's stand and do our benediction.
Let my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.